Jesus. Hey, you in? No sound? No sound? Yes, sound? Yes, sound? Amen. Lord, thank you for blessing this class. In Jesus' name, amen. It feels great that my prayers being more concise. I ain't got to say, oh, Father, won't you do this thing for me, Lord? Oh, Lord, I ask you. Lord, I ask you that you come and meet with us where we are right now, like we ain't here already. The Bible says God is everywhere. What shall separate us from the love of God? I don't know. I'm happy. I'm excited. I feel like I'm breathing different. I feel like everything I read looks different. The word looks different, life is different. I feel like I'm changing. I feel like I'm getting better. I thought I was eyed before until I started looking at grace and I realized how un-eyed I was. You know what I'm saying? But I just feel like this grace message is opening my eyes to something that's been there with me already. It's the worst thing in the world to think you see and don't really be seen. You know, we talking about that man that saw men, he lay hands on the blind, he saw men walking the streets, and he lay hands on them again, and he saw it clear. I always ask him, Lord, what? I ask Lord, what did you do that? Like, what? You didn't put enough power in the first time? Was you playing? Like, what was you doing? And he's like, I'm just trying to show you the levels where people can be at. And how you may not be blind anymore, you may not be in the dark anymore, but you ain't all the way in the light. And the Bible says, when there is no vision, what happens? But the Bible told me in John 2:16 that for God so loved the world. And it said that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? So that tells me that vision, the vision that you're talking about, is not the church vision. Y'all know you're talking about the vision, right? The vision. You're talking about church vision now. And I praise the Lord for our church vision. Change lives through the word of God. I love it. You know what I'm saying? Our church vision comes from Jesus Christ. It's not going towards Jesus. It's coming from Jesus. All right? So listen. It's not church vision. It's a vision of looking unto Jesus who started. You know, we read it last week. Who started and finished his race we're in. All right? That's the vision. So where there is no vision, people perish. If they don't see that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, they don't perish. So for me, my eyes have been open. I feel like I got that second hand laid on. I feel like I've been born again. Can I say it like that? I feel like I got that second hand laid on where Jesus said, can you see? He said, yeah, I see, but I see men walking in the trees. Can you imagine that? That it's clear. You ain't black no more. You see a little better than you did, but it's not clear. You ever felt like that before? Come on, tell the truth. We don't be deep. Come on. Right? This ain't not talking faith. We don't be deep. We'll be honest. We felt like that before. We read this word and felt like we didn't see anything we've seen. We've seen what the word of God says, but not seen it in our lives. That's like seeing men walk in the street. That's not seeing the things that we're supposed to be seeing. And so, for me, my eyes are open. I mean, I'm clear. I understand my insufficiency. I understand where I'm not good enough at. I'm clear about that. I'm conscious of that. But I know that in him, I'm everything. In him, I got it all. Under grace, there's a good statement. It says, I heard a statement today. It says, the essence of grace is supply. The essence of law is demand. So now law takes, grace gives. Law takes, grace gives. Law takes, grace gives. So now, when you preach this word of God, I'm going to read the scripture, Hebrews 13. I think it's Hebrews 13 we saw up there. Hebrews 13 is something hit me real hard. Hebrews 13, I'm on the scripture that we're going to go through. We've been saying this for years, and we're preaching. And we've been screaming in church, and we get shouting and all kind of stuff. I don't know if we knew what we were talking about. But the essence of grace is supply. The essence of law is demand. So that means law takes, grace gives. Now, the essence of something, that means the makeup, the fullness, all of it, the essence of me. I mean, even how it looks, it's supply. But the grace says, there is a supply for whatever you need. Grace is not just a church thing that supplies to you at church, but it supplies to you at home. in your marriage and with your family and with your kids and at your job and in your money and in your health. Grace covers it all. The essence of grace is supply. A supply for what? Everything that you need. The moment that things are taken away, the moment that you don't have enough, the moment when ends ain't needed, the moment somewhere law is enough. It's somewhere that they're up there, it's somewhere there's some law in there that's taking from the essence of law and demand. It asks you to do a bunch of stuff. The law asks you to do a bunch of stuff that you can't do. What's the first great commandment in the law? What problem did Jesus say? He said, law, what's the great commandment? He said, what's the great commandment in the law? What is it? Lord, what is it? Love the Lord your God with how much? All your heart. Right? And the second one was like, what it says, love your neighbor as yourself, huh? You do know that you can't do that in you. So why did you jump to Romans 5 and 5 because the love of God is by who? That means I need something bigger than me to be able to fulfill anything I'm supposed to be doing anyway. You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your might on your own. Didn't we try? How do you do that, though? How do you love the Lord your God with all your on your own? Can't do it. You need help. That's why he said, I'm going to send you a confidence. I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to show you all things, teach you all things, guide you in all truth. Somebody's going to lead you and tell you about yourself. That's all of those for. So now, let me go back. Hebrews 13:8. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Hebrews 13:8. And we've been reading that. Y'all look at it. Reading it for years, huh? Read it. Let it read. Oh, praise God. You can do it with your eyes closed, don't you? You don't need the Bible to move around. Jesus Christ is what? The same way. Yeah? Yesterday, today, or tomorrow. So we yell it out, we scream it out. He the same. He don't know the same. What are we talking about, though? What are we screaming about? Say, hello. If I do it right, if I did it right with the right inflection in my throat right now, and I step the right way, and I got a nice little ground, we can just shout a little bit in here. He the same. Well, I'm all right, we can get in there. He said, yesterday, day, and forever. You know, he'll never leave, he'll never think, he's never going to change. What are we talking about? Come on, preachers. Trying to break all this deep stuff that we do. And we don't, we it's almost like you ever seen them ostriches sticking their head in the ground and taking their hide? And they really think they're on the ground. And I think a lot of times with us, we've been the same way. We got our head down and living the word. So we think we're submerged and we have no idea about grace. Grace overcomes us. And so grace drowns you so that Christ can live. Grace overcomes you and everything about you so that Christ can live in you. It is God was working in you to will and do of his good pleasure. See, when we get out the way, we realize that we ain't nothing no way. That the grace of God makes us what we are, then we can get some things done. No progress is being made because we're trying to do it. And we're trying to work. And when we work, we're working by the law. Not by grace. So Jesus Christ saying, how long? Yesterday, day, and forever. What? All right. The same what? What are you talking about? And I read that, because we don't go to verse 9. Y'all know we read verse 8. We preach it. Make a. We encourage people about that. We turn Jesus Christ to say yesterday, well, what does it have to do with my life right now? You the same about that. Verse 9. Read it. What is a good thing to have this established in what? It's a good thing. Don't be proud about all these other doctrines, but it's a good thing that your heart be established in grace. So, you know, it stops value when you preach this straight up and down, no taste of grace. When you preach this straight, raw, to the point grace. This grace to where it says, you know, grace says, my past, present, and future things are always taken care of. Oh no! So you tell me the blood of Jesus got a timeline? You telling me the love of God can't reach that far? Just because you can't go there? How do we think? We think so much about, you know, Romans 12, somebody don't think you're so more high than you ought to think. We think so much about ourselves to think that just because we can't go there, the blood of Jesus ain't there already. or just because we haven't done that thing already, but God has covered it already. We're so behind the eight ball. We're so far away from what God really wants us to understand about who He is and how deep His love is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the fact that He loved you yesterday, this is Jeremiah says, before you go on the bed, I knew you. I prayed you out already. I sanctified you. Hold up. What is that? Jeremiah, what? I ain't got to go there and say, He said, I sanctified you. What does sanctified mean? Huh? That means I already thought enough for you to pull you out from among me. So you don't change? He didn't change my mind. He did not change my mind. My mother's grace. But this grace is built in this love. I didn't change my mind. So he said, don't be carried about with every other doctrine, because it's a good thing that your heart be what? Look at the word of God, and it says something that's permanent, it's fixed. Now we know grace. Y'all know some scriptures, don't you? We know grace, we're familiar. But the heart being established in grace is a whole other level. I'm talking in the church today. And so I said, great, and I said, I probably missed the whole second half of the church after he said that. Can I be honest? Y'all know, don't tell the truth. Y'all know y'all mind be rattling all too. I heard the status of grace, and my mind went to all the scriptures. And I said, Lord, I need to establish my heart in this. Because I know some scriptures, I preach to y'all day long. We get the shout and everything. But my heart must be established. It must be fixed. It must be permanent in grace. No other doctrine but that. And then when I wake up in the morning, I don't think nothing but grace. And then when I go to bed, I don't think nothing but grace. That means if you really know grace. You ever met that before? Come on, raise your hand. Anybody? Right. But in that moment is when you say, I'm the righteous of God through Christ Jesus. What? That's when you know if your heart is established. Submerged, always fixed, permanent in grace. Because those things can't take you out of grace. Woo! Deep in it. Your heart being established in grace. Don't let those matter. See, don't be sad about other ones' doctrine. If you're preaching anything else and it's not involved in grace or not covered by grace, then you got another doctrine. You preach because grace is not a message, but it's a person. So you preach anything without grace, anything without Jesus, you preach another doctrine. You got some other revelation that's deeper than what we understand. Trying to preach the word of God without grace being involved is like trying to be saved without Jesus. Can you do it? So what have we been doing? Anything not with grace is lost. So you try to preach anything that's not under the unmerited favor, that I'm not good enough, and I couldn't do it on my own, no way, and God is bigger than me, and He's better than me, and He knows better than me, and He can do it better than me, and it's only His love that's got this grace upon me. But anything that you preach that is not saying that, it's law. Y'all know we preach one, step two. Step one, what's number one? Step one. Step two, anything you do 21 days become a habit, right? Y'all know it, right? Huh? One, two, three, bam, get a manifestation. Pray for hours, you're going to get it. Jesus said, we heard this one time. Jesus said, could you not tell me for hours? And we made religion.
It's funny,
right? Come on, hey. We laughing about it, but Jesus up there like, man, I didn't even. I wish I wouldn't even say that part. They thought I'm in a made church. They didn't call it the 1 hour sanctuary or not.
Come on, y'all.
He was talking to them. You weren't talking to you?
Can I get another one
for you? First John 1:9. We talked about that last time. First John 1:9 says, if you face the sin, you face the just. Jesus didn't claim from all the righteous, huh? Claims you from all the righteous, huh? So you got a righteous?
Which one are you?
Are you righteous or you not? What does that got to do with you then?
All right.
Word of faith says this. Anybody familiar with word of faith? Anybody familiar with the word of faith? Y'all know the word of faith.
Faith.
It's the word of faith. You believe it. You want healing? You want to, I just quote scripture. We're going to dance in the river. Who says we are healed? 1 Peter 2:24. I quote scripture. I want my healing. So I start confessing. In a manifest, right? So you want wealth, you start confess. So yeah, what y'all do, y'all be screaming, I know you broke my day in my life, money coming, trying to confess, to make it happen, but you don't understand the grace of it.
You don't understand the grace
that Apostle is ministering that in.
You don't understand the grace
that he walked in to manifest that in his life. You confess, right? Because what? You confess wealth, what'd you get? You confess the one in heaven, what'd you get? So you confess the same. What did you get? I don't know what you're talking about. Come on. What are you talking about?
Right.
Where have I been? Confess the same. And you wonder why we're getting saved. We're missing it. We're trying to do 1, 2, 3 holiness when it should be holiness, so it makes me do 1, 2, 3 different. I'm trying to go, don't, get to the light when I got the light, when I got Jesus, and it eliminated my dark spot. Y'all get it? But see, y'all was like, wow. I don't ever look at it that way, right? Do y'all feel like that every time sometimes? Look, like, I never even thought about confessing my sin, now I'm getting more sin, right? No, because my heart got to be established in righteousness. My heart got to be established in grace. I have to do it. So now I'm reading the word by grace, and I'm reading the scripture, and I'm reading the scripture. And you hear me preaching, you hear me what I'm doing preaching, you hear Apostle preaching, you hear what I'm coming here preaching, and we're talking about grace, because we're trying to establish our hearts in grace. Because when I become established in grace, then I become to be what God wants me to be. So we ain't crafty yet. We ain't crafty. We ain't seen it. We ain't seen everything that God wants us to be. Because we've been established, and we're part of the law. Well, we know that law, boy. We know that. Well, you better go repent. Well, repent really means change your mind. Somebody told me that this is just a great revelation. She said the Lord told her, look up, she said, what's repent? He said, what's repent? You know, when you redo something, you go back to it, right? She said, well, I'm supposed to repent. She said, well, what is pent? Right? You know, what is pent? Then look at the word pent, and it means five. Five is the number of grace. You know, Pentagon, five times? Pentagon. You know, go back. You know what I'm saying? Go back to grace. What did you say to us? Lord. I'm wretched. I'm strong for everything. Nope. I'm talking to God through Christ Jesus. It don't feel normal. It don't feel. I got it. Like, you don't know already, though. Like, what? You know, it's good to touch me. Oh, God, know me. Sorry, know my heart. Like, he ain't know. You thought you give him permission? You thought when you said it, he was going to start searching? Like, he ain't know already? Let's get your mind right. Everything in this world is to get your mind right about what you got already. Everything is like, it's important to understand the Ephesians chapter 2. And I would love to read the whole chapter to you. It's a beautiful chapter. You should read it in the Message Bible sometime. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. You know what? I'm going to read from verse 1. And you hear quicken. Quicken don't mean made fast, it means made alive, right? I'm going to make sure you understand. Who was dead in trespasses and sins. That means you were dead, he made you alive. With a contract, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the principle of power of the air. I'm going to tell you something about him and his tale in a minute, because he's been tricking us. Power of the air, the spirit of God works in his children of disobedience. Among who also we had our conversation in time. Passing the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, you know you like that part, who is rich in mercy. What is mercy? We talked about last week. What is mercy? Huh? All right, I heard it on that side. On my other side, I wasn't hearing it last week. What is mercy? Not give you something you're supposed to get. You got shot in the eye. Yeah, I was supposed to swell, but he stopped swelling. You're supposed to get that swell. It's supposed to happen. But he stopped. He stopped even getting something. you're supposed to be. All right, mercy. But God, who is rich, not just in mercy, he's rich in mercy. For his, what kind of love? I love how he describes love. It's like, for God so loved the world. It's not his great love. It's not his love, don't just say it enough. It's not his great love. In which he loved us, even when we were dead and sinners, he took it and made us alive together. They say, under Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? You say with Christ? Can we win? That means he saved us with Christ. So he put us in the same position. With Christ, and the next phrase. By grace. That means grace was my means of salvation. Remember, grace is not a thing. It's not a message, but grace is a person. Remember, so by grace I am saved. Right? And they were together and made us sit together in heavenly places. And the ages come, and so he might show his people, this is his grace and kind towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, he says it again, what? Through what? And it's not of yourselves, it's what? Not of works that any man can boast. That means you couldn't do it because you would say you did. And now God wouldn't get the glory, but you would. For by grace you are saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is what? It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Get it to your head. It is the gift. Say it. It is the gift of God. Say it again. I just say it's the gift.
Say it.
Grace is the gift. Say it. It's a gift. So what do you do with a gift? You receive a gift. Now, in here, there's people we have a receiving problem. We do. I know a pastor that preaches about money coming. People got a problem receiving. I'm like, walk up to talk. Oh, no, baby, I don't need that. You don't need it, but they need it. Stop being so self-righteous. That problem receiving. Something inherently, we have a problem. I don't want to say the last class. We have a problem receiving because the society that we live in, you don't get nothing for free. You, right? Everything got price, right? You couldn't imagine going to the gas station and seeing your car was just pulling off. Oh, the lady come out and say, hey, you ain't got to pay for it. It's already paid for. Or you walk into their face and show that you're like, lady. You like shoes. You like the dresses or whatever. Whatever it is that you like, you race with your man, whatever you like to play, man. All right, cool. Whatever it is that Jesus got your mind on, right? Jesus walk up there, grab it, walk out. Now don't go really good. Just to say you did that. We can't conceive that. So we realize that we got to go to work some hours, save enough money to pay for this thing. So now I'm cursing God. God is so caught up in the payment. You know how you keep the lights on? Pay for them. So we're so caught up in the payment, that it's almost too good to be true. It's too easy. It's too easy that you just gave it to me. What you did for it, man? You can live till you're 2045, and you still will not have enough time to pay back what God did for you. You can live to 2000, you can live till, not till 2045, until you are 2045 years old. And work all day long, no sleep, and you still would not have enough time to pay back what God did for you. It's a gift, say it. And what do you do with a gift? Give your hands and receive it. Come on, do it again, receive it. Come on, do it again. We didn't complicate it, and we're praying all the miles and reading all the truth. Read.
Read the word.
Study the word. Pray. But when you pray from the right direction, when you read from the right direction, you get direction.
Are y'all with that?
Because you water what you put. The Bible talks about that. You're working hard. I don't work hard no more.
You grind.
No, it's not a grind. The word of God is not a grind. Grace is God's different word. take my yoke upon me and learn from me, Lord, and my yoke is easy. I'm committed to ease. Last week I was talking about the plan. I talked to a friend. I said, you know what? They came to my mind. I said, I'm committed. You know what I'm talking about? There? I said, I'm committed to ease. I'm committed myself to ease. I don't want to be hard on that. Nobody likes no hardship. We talking north about, you know, we got to take a little bit. We talk to church. We do certain stuff to justify our stupidity. We try to justify our life. We like, well, God is taking you through nothing.
You just
don't understand who you are.
And so now
you got to walk through that. You don't understand that you have the ability to rise above it. Or speak to it to move. So you just hustle. Because you don't know who you are, because your heart is not established. Your heart is not established. Your heart is not established. So it's a gift, right?
Are we
clear about that?
I didn't say it.
Who said it? The word said it, right? Right. It's a gift. So now you said it. You're saved through grace.
By grace
you are saved.
And it is not
of yourself,
but it's
a gift from who? That's a pretty good gift.
Give to God.
So what do you do to give?
Receive, right?
Not sometimes. Christmas time. I'm not that type of person. You get the gift from me, you're going to see what it is when I give it to you. If it's your shoes, I might come with my shoes. You know, you hold your shoes. I might be like, here, Merry Christmas. But if it's fancy, you wrap the gift. Right? So what it gives, sometimes you receive it, and sometimes you have to unwrap it. So when you're reading your words, and when you're praying, all you're doing is unwrapping
what you already have.
When you're unwrapping the gift, you're not giving the gift again, are you?
You already got the gift, don't you?
But sometimes you don't know what's in there.
Sometimes you can't comprehend it.
You can't see past the paper.
So you got to unwrap.
And get in there.
And open up what's in there for you.
Now when you read your words, you just unwrap it. You get off this message about unwrap the gift of Christ. You unwrap what's already in there for you. But you got it already. But you're just not aware. You don't really know it all, so you unwrap it. When you're praying, you read. A friend of mine said, it is yet unfolded. So I was like, what is yet unfolded? I mean, soon I got one layer back, and I think I know a little bit about God. He said, Peter boy got another thought. What's this later? Because I'm deeper than that. Love, man. That was something, boy. I got another layer. And just when you thought I did it all for you, here goes some more. And just when you thought you was on top of the world, boom, there's another layer. Grace is unfolding in your life. But all you got to do is receive. How hard is it? Yeah, unwrap the gift. Y'all know, you're unwrap the gift, and you're trying to be, you know. There are the people that are trying to take the top loose so they can take the paper for next year. Don't say nothing. Put that thing open. Receive the gift. Help my heart get established in righteousness. Receive the gift. I must understand. You know, if I get it, you what? I'm saying, I want you to understand that it's a gift. That it's mine. All I have to do is receive. Faith comes by what? Faith comes by what? It's Romans 10:17, right? Faith comes by here, and you know, we go to Romans 10. I'm going to flip over there a second. Romans 10, and we jump, you know, but that's a grace check. You're doing that, right? And so, we jump. I'm trying, and I say this stuff too, and y'all don't take it to be, I'm not being, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but we, you know, we take the scripture that we want to do to prove what we want to say, and we forget what's going on around the scripture. Alright, as we're on 10:17, you know, it says, so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've made a doctrine out of it, right? And it's a true statement that you get faith for what you hear for, alright? And there's another couple of scriptures that are our favorites in Romans 10. What are they? Do y'all know them? Y'all know them because you'll be quoting the people when y'all trying to get them paid. Romans 10:9-10. What did it say? Look at it. Y'all know it right. Read it. Then draw out the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? That's what the heart man believes in, right? With the mouth confesses the name of the salvation, right? Right? What you confessing? What you believe? If it ain't grace, what you believe? So now when faith comes by here, faith for what? He was talking about the grace. You know, he was talking about the Israelite Jews, and he said, y'all trying to do it by work. I'm going to read the chapter. I ain't got the time. Y'all trying to do it by work. Y'all trying to do it by your own works and say that you're saved and that other people ain't saved. He said, all they're going to know is that they're a preacher, right? What he said, so you come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that means, it's talking about having faith for grace. My heart will be established when I start listening to this more. When I start developing my faith, when I believe in God. Sometimes you have to step out of your preacherhood. Your deepness. You know, I've been in church forever. I know all the scriptures and the word. I know all the church terms. How you feeling? Blessed, highly favored. Y'all know, I got it all down. I know them all. I can hit you with them all. I know how to turn the voice on and all that. So, but sometimes people want to born again. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people, tell the atheist guy that came to church. That's a victory right there. He came to church. And I said, man, that make it real deep. I said, you know it's real simple? Three words. God loves you. I said, it blows my mind when I think about the fact that God loves you. And you know, before we've been talking, I wasn't deep. I wasn't preaching no scriptures. You know, but you're not a believer. You're a sinner right now. And you know, you got to come in time. You know, because people feel like you're trying to stomp them out when you come at them a certain way. I was talking about that man, listen. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I think none of us no good. I said, but it blows my mind that somebody bigger than me decided to love me. Knows everything about me, but still decided to love me. Now, I quoted John 3:16, something I said, that's too deep for you. Here's what it really means. It means that God loves me so much that he gave me his most prized possession, just so I could be close to him. I'm just getting it. I'm really just understanding this. What's one thing? We got all those stuff with God. He looked at me like, God loves you. Victory. That boy might be saved now. We don't know it. What you want to do? Lead him in the fire, huh? You ain't there yet, so I want to take you in. I got to take you into the holies of holies, right? I forgot where I was going before that. What were we talking about before? I was talking to the guy. God loves you. I'm about to jump. I got about 20 seconds to come back. I'm about to get back into these notes. Whatever Romans 10:17, faith come by here. Faith for grace. And we quote those scriptures. Faith, your heart be established in grace by faith. I got it. Right. And so now I got to go over this stuff over and over again so that my heart
can be permanently fixed in grace. You know, you talk about the prince of this world just now. Let me read about the prince of this world just now. You know, he's been playing it. Same shit he's been playing since the beginning. He ain't changed it at all. He didn't do nothing different. He's the best pick that's ever been played. He's doing us. Church people. Us. Enlightened folks. He's doing this. You know, the first thing you do is you have to find out your heart status and grace. You know, we talking about when you mess up, you still feel like God gonna speak to you? Because you know you don't feel like that. Right? What do you feel like? So what we do, we good, because we still come to church. We'll tell about the message. And we work with everybody else, right? Come on, y'all. Be honest with me right now. We work with all the stuff that everybody else do. Don't crap like that. We crap like that because we don't want to look like we don't come in. And so we look the part. Yeah, the form of God is the mind, the power thereof. Well, okay, so you look the part, but you're still guilty in your mind. You feel guilty on your inside, and as I think, therefore I am. What I believe is what I become. Right believer is right living. Wrong believer is wrong living. So now, if I have a guilt consciousness and a sin consciousness, and the Bible says consciousness, right? And the Bible says I think, therefore I am. To me, a guilt consciousness, sin consciousness, mean I got guilt and I got sin. So why I can't beat this sin? Because I got the consciousness of it. I'm not conscious of my righteousness. I'm not more conscious of my righteousness. Then the sin. Now Satan is saying the same trick with it. He wants to be conscious of sin. Want to keep the sin conscious. He tries to make you think you're being beat by acknowledging it. Now he's going to repent and confess. So hey, confess sin and repent. You better go to the altar and repent.
Right?
All right. These are even trickers also. So now we feel that way, so we draw away from God. What Adam and Eve did when they ate the food?
He went
and tried to eat it, like he couldn't see him. I guess they didn't know him that long, so they didn't really know how big he was. I guess we got the Bible, so we know he got religion and all that, so like, we got the Bible, right? They went and tried to hide it, because we was naked. We wasn't good enough. The enemy tricked them, true life and true knowledge of good and evil. The enemy tricked them and said, you need to eat from this tree. I told them not to eat from it, right? You remember the instruction?
But you need to eat from this tree because then you'll be like God.
But they were already like God.
Because the Bible says
that when you form Adam up in the dust, he breathed into him and made him a living soul. 5 minutes later, I'm gone. He breathed him and made a living soul. So that means he was already like him.
So he's coming and say, all right, now go name.
I'm trying to teach you how to be like you.
You don't really know what this is.
So I'm going to teach you how to be like you. Go name all these animals and do all this.
You already like that.
So the enemy tricked them.
And said, first of all, he got them to think
that they wasn't like that.
So now he got them to believe that they were something else.
But who told you you were something else?
God already told you what you was.
He breathed into you.
Who you woke up and said,
God, you ain't know nothing else?
Where you thought you came from?
I got you to think that you wasn't like God.
And then I told you you need to do something
to get like God.
And what happened?
Immediately when they did what they did, the curse is the law. The Bible talks about the curse of sin is the law.
So immediately when they did that, law became in existence.
The curse.
All of that manifested there. There was an opportunity for law.
At that direct moment.
And so it's the same thing. It's happening to you, and using your sword to cut you.
You still don't read from me. 1 John 1:9, all about confessing sin, and we made a whole religion out of it.
Go find another one.
I did it. I repent. Change my mind. See, the fool is again to make you think you ain't holding nothing.
You're not holding up, so you need to read the Bible a little more to get like God, right? You need to go pray a little harder to get like God. You already are. I already am. Say it. Come on, say it. I already am. Say it again. I already am. But their heart got to be established in that. The statement, I'm going to make this, under the law, sin is contagious. Why is it so dirty? Because all that law. Under grace, holiness is contagious. Let me deal with this in 2 minutes. Hey, all right, we're so caught up on sin is not that strong. Y'all know that, right? Sin is not that deep. What you focus on does what? Expand, but we're giving it so much. So now, here we go. Try to hear me quick. You ready? On the outside of grace, we're focused on the grace, which is not the grace like it's really supposed to be taught, but just, you know, you know how we do. We take grace, we didn't know what it was. And so we got saved by grace, right? What did it save us from? That's what we thought of. We never really thought about the fact that it just saved us from ourselves and brought us in a better place. We never focused on the place that it brought us in. We always look at the place that it took us from. So now we're looking at sin again. The enemy tricking us. Now we're getting here and we start preaching grace. And start preaching like we're supposed to read it. Now somebody starts feeling about hyper grace. You ever heard that before? Now you're giving somebody a license to now sin on both sides of us now. And we're so focused on those two sides that we don't even see grace where there's no vision. Sin's not that strong. It's the dumbest thing in the world to plug your vacuum cleaner up. Or just to pull it in the room and start trying to vacuum when you're not plugged into the wall. Dumbest thing in the world, huh? If I ever see you doing that, I'm going to come and knock it out your hand immediately. All right? We're trying to clean up to get to the plug. You would never do that, though. You would never come in here and be like, let me clean the floor before I plug into the power. Because I can't get to the power until I clean the floor. No, you plug into the power and it cleans the flow. The purpose is made from the power. You don't do stuff to get the power. You have the power already. It's how you live from grace. Do me a favor. I'm sorry. Do me a favor. Yeah, do me a favor. Do me something. All right. You start going in there and reading what this word says about grace. You submerge yourself in these scriptures. You submerge yourself in nothing but grace. See that you're abounding in this grace also. I ain't got time to go there. See that you're abounding in this grace also. It's all under grace. Do this. I don't know. Whatever your study is, I don't know about all that. Go study grace. Find out what God is saying. Read the context of what's going on. And submerge yourself in that grace. That we can stop being what God wants us to be. We ain't nowhere close yet. It is yet unfolding what God wants you to be. It is yet unfolding. You think you got anointing now. You think somebody pops out over you and give you a calling. Grace gonna call you. Submerge yourself in that grace. Anything else you're trying to learn that ain't under grace is another Bible. See that your heart is established in grace. Yeah, I ain't got no point for it. It's gonna be easy though. I'll say that. It's gonna be easy, all right? I ain't no trick question. I know I ain't been in the book either, so I got y'all back. Okay, I want y'all to win. You ain't preaching grace.